It's good to be here tonight and to have time to spend together in God's Word. I want to talk, like I said a moment ago, it's kind of a neat introduction, talk about persistence a little bit. If you think about it, in the world of nature, persistence is very well observed. You might think about your favorite bird feeder and how persistent the squirrels are in trying to get the seed. I mean, they cannot be defeated. You go outside and you kick over an ant's nest. Fire ants, you got to be careful doing that. They'll leave some marks on you, but they immediately start rebuilding. And they stay after it persistently until the job is done. Persistence is something that you see everywhere. If you ever had a barn swallow try to build a nest over your front door, oh, you want to get them out of there. So you tear down the nest, and 5 minutes later, they're building it again. This persistence is part of survival in the animal kingdom. And then sometimes when it comes to human beings, you think about it, a lot of times we lack persistence. The first thing that comes along, and we give up. And yet there's so many lessons taught in nature and in the Bible about our need to be persistent. People who are persistent accomplish a lot more than those people who are gifted, those people with high intellect and great ability. So it's the man or the woman or the young person who is persistent that gets the job done. I want to talk tonight a little bit. I want to start off by talking about this little fella here. If I can, I've got to turn it on. There he is. This little fella here. You know, I like penguins. I don't know a lot about them, but I think they're cute, aren't they? When we went to the zoo one time, when Amos, our 18-year-old grandson, was only like 3 or 4, went to this little area where they had penguins. And these little black penguins would jump in the water and just swim by. Lickety split. They're a little bit bigger than his dog back home, but he thought that was his dog. He had a black dachshund. That penguin would swim by and he'd be yelling, "Hank, Hank, stop it!" You know, but that was kind of, penguins are cute and they do a lot of, and Bill has some good stories about the emperor's penguin. This is the chinstrap penguin. Now, what's interesting about him, or her, I don't know how to tell the difference really, but this penguin survives on 4 seconds of sleep. 4 second sleep periods up to 10,000 times a day. Sleep, 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 you know. And it's kind of like, why go to bed? You're going to get up. You can see how they survive on 4 second naps. But they do that. I'm sure they have periods where they stay awake a little longer to catch some fish or whatever they feed on. But they will do a 4 second nap, especially if they have young that they're taking care of. They're alert all the time. And so you say, well, that's amazing that they can do that, to accomplish that. That's persistence about getting your sleep. They end up with somewhere around 10 or 11 hours of sleep a day, but they do it in those 4 seconds, sometimes as much as 30 seconds if they're sleeping in, you know. But they'll do those little short sleep periods, and they survive doing that. But we'd have a hard time with that. Sometimes we have those little nod-offs, you know, but they might be a minute or two or 5 or 10 or 15 or more. But these fellows get by with just a little bit less. And so I thought maybe talk a little bit tonight about persistence. Maybe see if you can help a little bit if you like. You might ask an open-ended question. If you want to participate, you can. If not, I'll just tell you what I think. But what are some areas as Christians in which we need to have persistence? Prayer. Exactly. That happens to be, I didn't even tell them that, but that's my first point. We need persistence in prayer. Well, you need to be talking to him, obviously. And then there's the matter of continuing to talk to Him and making your petitions. Any the persistence? Study the Word. How many have learned everything they know about the Bible in one 15-minute session? No. It's continuous. You hunger and thirst after God's Word. You study it. You go back and relearn it again and again and again. Persistence. And you hope that something sticks in there. You know, and it will. God will help you with that. What other areas of persistence? Okay, Jim, you got my second point. Jim and I are just, it's a mind meld here. Persistence in good works, very important. Anything else? Persistence in attendance. And that's kind of, hits a couple different areas, but talk about worship, because attendance really is, the reason we attend is we're worshiping. And so there's the worship where the members of the body of Christ get together to study together, to worship together. That requires diligence and persistence. Keep on. I'm going to be here next November, I think the second Sunday, and then I'll see you then. You know, that's not really faithfulness to the Lord's assembly. What other kinds of persistence? Christian living. That would have to do with not only what we do, but also what we don't do. It's consistency about living a holy life. When we're not persistent in that, the description we give to the world is that we are not faithful, but we're practicing hypocrisy. Anything else? Praying? Okay, so spreading the word. Sorry. Whew. I got defective ears. Yeah. Spreading the word, that's evangelism, persistent. How many people are converted out of the world the first attempt that somebody makes to influence them? You might have people inviting them to services over and over again, and then finally somebody invites them and they come. Or you might try to study with someone, and then finally they're ready to study. They're not ready at the first, you know. Persistence. I know Mike's ready to say something. He's got his hand like here. Okay, all of the one another passages in the New Testament, and there are many, to watch out for one another. Actually, the Bible talks about being sober-minded, which is watchful, and there it's connected to our own spirituality and our own readiness, but it's also true that we need to look out for one another's interests, not just our own. So that goes back to the emperor penguin that Bill always talks about. They take care of each other by rotating from the outside to the inside so they can stay warm. So yeah, that's good. Well, let me mention a few that I have, and I think all three of the ones I mentioned are probably have been mentioned or close to it in our lesson already. But the chin strap penguin, you see his little chin strap. Now, persistence in prayer reminds you of some of the familiar passages, like be devoted to one another, or be devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with attitude of thanksgiving. Be devoted to prayer. What does that mean if it doesn't mean persistence? I'm told that the word devoted here is could be actually translated be addicted to prayer. It's, you know, there are some addictions that are bad, But there are some addictions that are good. And if we can develop habits that are good and become so addicted to doing them that they become routine as part of our character, part of our manner of life, then you don't have to think anymore, well, should I do this or not? It's just, you're already addicted to that. And I think what was mentioned earlier about attendance, I'm talking to the choir here tonight, but if it becomes a habit of worshiping God and being present for Bible study, things like that, you don't think about it anymore. But if it's always a matter that you have to decide, well, should I or should I not, then it becomes hard. Be devoted to prayer. For some of us, it requires getting in a habit, having a special time. But it could be just, and I don't think you can do this like the penguin, 4 seconds of prayer, you know, go on. I think it has to be a little bit more than 4 seconds, but praying without ceasing, which is the next passage, would probably imply the idea that it's a habit, a daily habit, but it can go on throughout the day. Moments of prayer that come up throughout the day, and you don't have to say, well, I'll put that on my list for tomorrow's prayer. You know, you can pray right then, take care of that. Pray without ceasing. Okay? There's one example of persistence in prayer found in Luke chapter 18 about a certain widow. It said Jesus was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God, nor did he respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. You can relate to that, can't you? You got children? Okay. Colleen has mentioned this before when in her job, sometimes you get a certain type of person that would start calling you, and sometimes you just get rid of it by taking care of them first and getting them out of the way. Part of me says, no, I'm going to leave them where they're at. But the other part says, I'm going to get rid of that problem, you know, get it out of the way. And so in a sense, this judge is saying the same thing. I don't want to help her, but man, she's driving me nuts. I'm going to do something about it. So the persistence paid off. And so also, Jesus saying, we ought to be persistent in prayer. Keep on asking. God is not like that judge who is just saying, well, he bothers me, so I'm going to answer him. God is patient, loving, kind, answers our prayer in keeping with his will. But he's emphasizing the main point of that parable is be persistent. Matthew 7:7, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and it will be opened. God will hear it. God will answer it. Be persistent in prayer. What are some of the things we ought to be praying about? I mean, you don't have to be specific, but things that ought to be subject of our prayer continuously. Okay. Okay. There's a couple of lists right there. Mentally or on a piece of paper or whatever, praying for one another. Paul is asking his brethren throughout the New Testament, pray that we might be bold, that we might say the things we need to say. He's very specific about it. But one of the things I think we could do as Christians is to cultivate a habit of not just asking one another, you know, how are you doing? Weather's fine, all of this. But finding out what are our prayer concerns? What are the things we can pray about for other people? And then as those concerns rise, we continue to pray about those persistently and consistently. And people, you don't know how much it means to have people say, well, I've been praying about this. I've been praying for you or praying for your son or praying for this or that, it means a lot. And knowing that the persistence prayer, as James said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, accomplishes much. So I know that sometimes in the religious world you have groups that call themselves prayer warriors, and they're a special group, and their whole mission is to focus on prayer. It's not a bad idea, but every Christian ought to be a prayer warrior. We ought to be involved in prayer and using that as a ministry. When in Acts chapter 6, when the apostles were confronted with the problem of widows that were being neglected, they told the church in Jerusalem, set some people up to serve on the tables. And they said, but for us, that we're devoting ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. See, they recognized their higher priority, the apostles. Prayer was a priority. Ministering the word was a priority. You can't do the ministry of the word without prayer. But sometimes we look at prayer as the last thing we do, last thing on our to-do list. If things get really, really bad, we'll do some praying. We'll throw that in there in the mix. But maybe prayer ought to jump up in priority. It'll be the thing we think of first. Let's pray about it. Let's give thanks to God for that. Let's praise the Lord for what he's done. So persistence in prayer. Any thoughts, comments about that? Okay. Okay. And the Bible, Luke mentions the prayer life of Christ quite a bit. Mark 1:35 says that he left at a very busy time in the early part of the day, while it was still dark, and went off by himself and prayed. So I think you could say Jesus was persistent in prayer. I don't think any of us come close to being the Lord. A second point I want to mention is this: persistence in good works. A couple of verses. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially those who are of the household of the faith. Okay? Let us do good to all men, but especially to those in the church. This passage teaches us that our good works go to everybody, Christians and non-Christians. We want to do good for everybody. But there's a special concern we have toward those who are part of our family, right? You can see that in everyday life. So we want to do good. Don't grow weary in doing good. How would somebody grow weary in doing good, or why would they grow weary in doing good? What causes you to get tired of doing good? There you go. Sometimes you don't see the benefits. Sometimes you don't see them, but they're still there behind the scenes. And sometimes it's not till years later that somebody who's watching and thankful for what you did or appreciated what you did, and that may have had an impact on them and what they did. So don't grow weary. Just keep on doing the good thing. And don't be faint, as the King James says. But keep on doing what's good. Okay. The next verse I had was familiar. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. You know what he's talking about in that chapter? Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. The resurrection. Pretty powerful. What kind of body are we going to have? Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So there's going to be a resurrection. This body is going to be sown, a fleshly body, raised a spiritual body, sown a perishable body, imperishable body. It's going to be eternal. And this promised resurrection then, he says, therefore, because of that, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And then he adds, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Anything we do in the name of the Lord receives its reward. It's valuable. Even that little cup of cold water that Jesus spoke about. Even that kindness of saying hello and greeting somebody in a positive way. Even being willing to listen to someone as they are expressing their heart's concerns to you. Even spending time in prayer with somebody who's downtrodden and in despair. Everything we do is important. And to say, well, what I do is not that important, you're making a mistake. It's the combined effect of everyone in the body of Christ working together, trying to be blessings to those people around them. Any one of those things by itself, you might say, well, what is that about? But you put it all together as a body, and then you multiply it as a consistent, persistent, ongoing thing, and the church becomes influential to those in darkness. We need to do that. So be persistent in the good works. I think it's interesting that he says to be steadfast and immovable. Now, some folks are immovable. But I think he means immovable in the sense that you're going to hang on there. You're going to hold on. But as you're immovable, you're also abounding in good works. So isn't it kind of interesting that you can be immovable and you're really, really busy. You're really, really active. That's what he's talking about. In the heart, in the soul. You're not going to be shaken from your confidence, but you're going to always abound in the work of the Lord. Okay? Persistence in good works. Another verse. Jesus said, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciple. Okay? Bearing fruit is the result of activity, doing the good things, teaching people, reaching out to others, showing the love of Christ to others, all of that. There's good fruit produced by that. And of course you could mention the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 and the Christian graces in 2 Peter 1 and say, well, that's part of it. Those are really the inner things, that the characteristics that produce the activity on the outside and bring about fruit in our lives. So be persistent in good works. The third one, I think we alluded to this a little bit. Persistence in brotherly love. It's one thing to express love occasionally, but it needs to be persistent. It needs to be something that's going on all the time, where it's not it ought not to shock people for us to say, I love you, I care about you, I want to pray for you, I'm going to give you a hug, whatever it is. That the love that we feel toward each other, it needs to be expressed. So like that old man, that old saying, you've heard it, I'm sure, where the husband and wife have been married for many years, and they're riding in their old wagon down the road in the old days, and she says, honey, do you love me? He says, well, yes, I love you. Well, why don't you ever tell me? He goes, I told you once, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. That doesn't exactly work, does it? You might say, well, I think so, but I'm not sure. We need to make sure that people know that. Okay. A couple of verses. Let love of the brethren continue. Hebrews 13, verse 1. If he says as a command, let it continue, does that mean that it can stop? Is it possible that we are the ones that need to get out of the way? Let it continue. We are born again, 1 Peter 1:22, for a sincere love of the brethren, and should fervently love one another from the heart. Now, when we our own self-interests get in the way, we take them down so that our love can continue, keep on going on. And so this is something we need to remember. Just because we love each other today doesn't mean we'll continue to love each other tomorrow or the next day. Satan is very active in promoting the opposite of that. Love of the brethren. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. And that whole Romans 12 is all has a whole section of things written down there that are very good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Let brotherly love continue. And the third thing, 1 Corinthians 14. Pursue love, but earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, the context there is interesting, because in chapter 12, he concludes by saying, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. Chapter 13 is all about what love is, what love does. And he describes it as being patient, kind, and so on. So this more excellent way is described. And then at the end of that, he says, no chapter divisions. It flows right on into pursue love. Now, don't be so caught up in, as he's talking to the Corinthians, about being prominent, being noticed. Speaking in tongues is one way they did that. Don't be worried about that. That's going to cease. You know, prophecy will cease and all of that, but faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Love will continue. Pursue love. If you're going to pursue love, he says, desire to prophesy. Why? Because prophecy was beneficial to your brother or sister in Christ. If you're speaking a word from God and they understood what you were saying, you were edifying them, building them up. That's an act of love. As far as speaking in tongues is concerned, some of them were thinking, well, I'll just speak in tongues. I don't care if anybody understands it or not. It feels good. I want to do it. And so they weren't practicing love. So be persistent in brotherly love. Anybody have any other words or verses about that you want to think about? Okay. We just mentioned three. What I want to do now is just kind of go back and review just a little bit by pointing out the connection in all three of these to the life that Jesus lived. Concerning prayer, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. We did mention this earlier. Jesus was a man of prayer. He was persistent in prayer. And we are told to be persistent in prayer. Where do we learn that? We learn it from Jesus. We want to be like him. And so we follow his example in prayer. The other statement we had was good works. What about Jesus? At the house of Cornelius, Peter began preaching to the Gentiles and said, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You think about doing good works? What about Jesus? What is his example? He always went about doing good. That was his life. That characterized his life. On one occasion, they were trying to kill Jesus, and he said something like, for which of these works are you stoning me? You know, he did all these good works, and he's just asking them, which of these things are you stoning me for? For healing that man? For raising up this person from the dead? What is it you're doing that? Jesus was persistent in doing good works. His life was about that. And the last thing here is brotherly love. Got the Lee on that. Persistence in brotherly love. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Okay? A disciple, a learning follower. A disciple is made complete when he is just as his master is. So if we're commanded to love each other, to be true disciples, and this is how the world knows that we are, then we know that this is what Jesus was all about. He loved his disciples. One passage in John says he loved them to the end, or one translation says to the uttermost. Couldn't love them more. And when you think about it, isn't that true about how God loves us? To the uttermost. To the extent that he gave his only begotten Son to die for us. And so the persistence of his love motivates us to be persistent in our love. Be like Jesus. Follow him and his example. Tonight we're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you need our prayers, we're here to pray for each other. We're here to help each other. We're our family. If you need those prayers, you need to come to Christ, we'll be singing this song and invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.